Welcome to the Branding with Brandon podcast. Hey, we're not doing a live intro here. I might change my mind. I might go back on my word, but truthfully, I get kind of bored with a podcast. Not like, I don't know, like you go on a podcast and it's usually this poppy beat and then it's like, hey, this is the Brandon Marshall podcast. Get ready for your host. And it's like, I don't know. I can't get down with it. Once I did a podcast and one of my first podcasts way back, I got a dude and he sounded like Eeyore. I thought it was going to work out, but it was more like, it's Brandon Marshall. And, you know, and then I got like some other ones, but I just feel in my mind, I want this podcast to feel a bit raw and uncut. You know, I want it to sound good on the ears, but I want it to be a bit raw and uncut. And sounding, I think the difference, making a difference, is sometimes not having the polished stuff, you know, and just I come from comedy roots. So I kind of want to bring in the maybe more a more real and comedy type podcast to the personal development space and the branding space or whatever the fuck space I'm in. So welcome. I guess that's my intro. My name is Brandon Marshall. If you don't know me, please leave a 5-star review on iTunes. I ask this from deep within my heart. I've just been sort of starting out this podcast, and it would be very helpful to help me get on the fucking map and get more ears listening. Like, you know, I think it's always good to make some sort of energetic exchange. So like if I'm listening to a free thing or something and I'm not buying a program or something like that, then I like to contribute. And I just think it's an awesome idea to contribute and go that extra mile. So give me a 5-star. If you're going to give me a 1-star, then don't. So yeah. What's going on in my world? Tomorrow is going to be insane. And the things that excite Rebecca is different from what excites me. She thinks it's a very good idea to have 15 people here, family and friends, and have this whole ordeal. And I'm like, ah, it's fucking stressful. No, but I love her. I adore her. And she says that I will end up liking it. And I think I will. We'll have mimosas. I'll be making eggs. It's all going to be good. I think it's all going to work out, truthfully. I do like being an asshole sometimes, like a smart ass. And, you know, asking all the questions. Like, don't we need extra chairs? You know what? What if, you know, some people don't show up? But anyway, I think it's going to be fun. And if you're someone that's coming to Rebecca's birthday party, hi. I am very, as much as I like to make fun of Rebecca's extrovert nature, I do appreciate it. And I'm an introvert and we have different things. Like my dream day is sitting inside and having space for my art and doing a podcast and not answering my messages. Like that's pretty much my thing. Rebecca's thing is let's throw 15 parties and go travel. I like traveling too. It's not that I don't like traveling and meet up with all these friends and answer all my messages with voice notes. So it's a different thing, but no, I'm like an introvert. And actually I've been really getting it more in touch with my authentic codes lately. So that's fucking cool. And, I'm realizing the shift in my business. And this sort of gets into the lesson here that was advertised on the title of this podcast. I didn't ramble that long. It was only 5 minutes, but there is more rambling. So who knows? But that's what really has helped me sell my programs lately. Not only sell effectively, but having these amazing client, like I've had like so many people I've worked with, but it felt so energizing. Like it feels so energizing now. And to be quite fucking honest with you, there's processes a lot of coaches teach that feels draining to me. Feels draining and actually miserable if I were actually to do that thing. And I've came through all these realizations on my journey of what I truly want to do. So we're talking about in the realms of sales and all that. And for example, the act of doing a discovery call is not that exciting to me. It's not a full body yes to me. I don't get excited for a discovery call. When I first started doing discovery calls and sales calls and things of that nature, honestly, I was going through this 5-step script and it was sort of designed to put people through a emotional washing machine where it's like, let's hit their pain points. Let's bring them to the gap of their thing. And then let's paint the paradise for them. Like, what does your life look like in 10 years? How does it feel now though? Do you feel fucking awful? And then you had to like time fuck them. And you're like, well, basically how you time fuck someone, you're like, but it's been 7 years and you haven't done anything. So what's going to change now? And it always felt weird saying that to someone, you know, something along the lines. I think I exaggerated a little bit, but I didn't exaggerate that much. It's still quite accurate. But yeah, like it always felt weird doing that sales process. And then at the end, it's like this tricky thing that a lot of people are taught in the coaching industry about sales process. So if you're new to the coaching industry or something and you haven't heard this, you kind of get a glance of how people may try to sell to you. And so by the end of the call, before you say the price, you say like, well, how committed are you? And they're like, I'm a 7. And you're like, well, a 7's not going to get you there. You need to be 10%. I mean, not 10%. You need to be 100% committed. You got to be at level 10. And then they're like, oh, gee, golly. Well, I'm a level 10 committed. So they tell you you're a level, you tell them or whoever's in the sale, whoever the prospect is like, I'm a level 10 committed. And then you fucking flip it on them. And you're like, okay, well, the price is $17,000. $17,000. And do you want it on your Visa or MasterCard? And then they're like, well, I have a Discover. And then they're like, well, Discover works too, motherfucker. It was just a saying. And then they're like, but, $17,000 is a lot of money. You know why they say that? Because $17,000 is a lot of money to a lot of people. It's not like not a bad thing. And shout out to the millionaires and multimillionaires and billionaires out there. Shout out to all the wealthy people in the world. But to a lot of people, even in this great country we live in God bless the USA, $17,000 is a big, it's a substantial chunk of money, you know? It's a substantial chunk of money that you would have to talk to your wife or your partner or your husband or, you know, like, it's just a lot of money to talk about. So someone on the phone is like, ooh, ah, burr. And they're like, I don't know. I don't know if I'm ready to take this leap now, sir or ma'am. And then you on the other end who's selling, then you revert back and you basically commitment fuck them. And you're like, well, you said you're a level 10 committed, but I guess since you don't want to just like brazenly drop 17K right on this call, I guess you're not committed. So are we just saying that you're not committed? So then basically it's like twisting you and you're like, you can either lose face. You know, you could either save face and pay that 17K to be loved and admired by the other person on the side of the phone, or you could be like, no, I'm not doing it. And then they'll be like, well, didn't think you were a serious entrepreneur. Bye. And then all of a sudden, then you get like this gaping hole in your heart of not feeling like a serious entrepreneur. So there's a rundown of the five-step process that I've been taught as a coach and a lot of people have been taught as a coach. The issue I see with this, and this is a process where it's like hide the price, you know? The issue I have with this is, one, the people that I've had seen teaching this say that once someone's off the phone, you've lost them forever. And if you don't get their credit card number on the phone, then good luck. And that sort of fucked up my mind in selling and all that stuff and had me trying to do it by force. And really, I was always good at growing an audience. Ever since I was in kindergarten. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, obviously I wasn't always good, but from what I remember, because when I got into coaching, that's the thing. You know, it's not that I was always good. And I think sometimes I may mislead people if I say that. So I apologize for my irresponsibility of saying such a thing. It wasn't always the case. It wasn't always the case. Once I was a shy kid in middle school and I was afraid to raise my hand because my palms were sweaty, knees weak, arms were heavy. No, but the thing is when I got into coaching, I already had experience of being in the performing arts of hip hop and comedy. So I sort of got over those leaps by showcasing my talent early on. So it's not something that, you know, comes natural to the performers. Like there's a point where you had to face a fear. There's a point where I had to step on stage and face that fear. There's a point where I had to get on video for the first time and it was awkward. And it's still awkward now. It's just in a cool, awkward way. You know, I just awkwardly magnetize it of some way. But anyway, I was always, you know, once I got into coaching, I was used to growing an audience. Like I used to do comedy on YouTube, growing a Facebook, growing a YouTube subscriber list. I did a video that went viral, actually, that was sort of following a trend, but it was shit military people say. And I've since taken it down. And I don't know. It's like, I'm not even, now that I go back, it's like a piece of my history that I took down. But thinking of it, it would be nice to have it up still, but it's like, you know, when old identities pass away in my life, I sort of move on. So whatever, it's meant to be. So that got like 80K views, I think. And the funny thing about that is I was on deployment in Egypt. This was back in 2011 and my squad leader was very old school. And he told me absolutely not to do videos. And it was kind of framed under so the enemy wouldn't attack us, but that wasn't necessarily true. And it wasn't in the rule book, or he was trying to twist the rule book. And I was like, well, I'm not giving up any top secret information on my videos, dude. And they don't know my location. So it wasn't really a wrong thing to do videos. But I think it was more personal for him because he didn't want to call too much attention to himself. And me being in his squad, I was sort of like a reflection of his leadership. So he didn't like that I did funny videos. So when I do a video in Egypt and then it goes viral, and then it was like, you know, 80,000 views is pretty nice and viral on the internet. But it was even bigger in the military because everyone on the camp knew who I was because it was like a big military Facebook page shared it. And so it was like everyone knew me across the army. So wherever we were walking, there's like, hey, I saw your video. And my squad leader would be pissed. Like you could see the pissed offness on his face. So anyway, with that being said, wow, I certainly have ADD, but I've always been pretty decent at growing an audience and knowing how to call attention to myself, at least before coaching. You know, like at least once I got into coaching, I knew the audience building stuff. So when I'm learning marketing and sales, to put on top of that, because I knew how to grow an audience, but I didn't know exactly how to convert into sales. And I didn't know how I was going to get coaching clients. So when I learned these sales processes, I found myself getting on these discovery calls and adding in strategies that I didn't really need. And that's a big thing, because the other day I was talking about less is more. And that's a big example of that. I could have done less and achieved more when I started out. So I'm creating conversational content. You know, I'm doing a good job at marketing, but at the same time, what I've been told by coaches was, well, you're starting out in your business, reach out to everybody who loved your post. get on these 5-step calls with people, and you want to be getting on sales calls every day. I fucking hate getting on calls. And what I hate more than that is I hate vagueness. I hate the fucking vagueness. I hate the and this is not knocking anybody's sales process. If it fucking works for you, good. But for the people who felt that burningness of like, I don't really like this, blah, 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 blah. But this is the only way I was told. That's who this is for. This is for the artist. This is for people just wanting to do sales in a different way that may or may not work for them, because my way is not everybody's way, but I know there's plenty of people that want a more easeful marketing and sales strategy. So I was getting in my own way because I was chasing my clients away, but it was what I was told. So I was like, I thought sometimes I get mad at other people. Sometimes I get mad. There's Katie Buck. Katie, your dad's making a podcast. Can you stop barking? But anyway, sometimes I get in my own way, and sometimes I even get mad at people for flaking me on calls or committing to something and then backing out. But it was because my own sales process was messed up. And I would chase legitimate audience members away. One second. Here's a word from our sponsor. Hey, y'all. All right, I'm back. I just had to take care of some things. But anyway, a word from our sponsors. Have you joined Identity? Great program. And you can check out all my programs at brandingwithbrandon.com. But as I'm recording this, I'm so fucking excited about the people who are joining Identity, and like, wow. You know, I've been watching the videos in the group, and this is my current live program that I'm doing on the date of February 20th, 2020. I understand that there's going to be people that are listening to this a year from now or something, and they're like, well, what's going on? So anyway, Identity is all about upgrading your identity, your brand identity, and your message and how you're showing up online. You can check out that at brandingwithbrandon.com. If you're listening to this call at a later date, you can see all the programs I have available at brandingwithbrandon.com. Now let's get back into this. So I was getting in my own way, doing sales processes that weren't working for me, because I was very magnetic, and I was very good at drawing people in and inviting people to work with me. But I felt that I had to do it that way because coaches told me that I had to do it that way. So in a result, all the magnetism that I had was deflected by force. And I want to be clear with this and write this down on your forehead. This is very fucking important. You cannot be magnetizing plus being in scarcity force at the same time. You can't like do magnetizing actions and then do forceful non-surrendering actions and have the results of the magnetizing actions. So for example, every time that I went prospecting like it was a numbers game, which is what I was doing, I was like slapping away the goodness that was coming from my powerful content and my community. And this is super fucking important. And this is driving home the main message I want to leave today. Something that I realized on my journey was a lot of old school sales teaches in a way that doesn't build relationships or that contradicts building your community. And I'll even share some examples of me being on the receiving end. You know, I'm somebody who's always investing in myself. You know, always, and the coaches I've worked with most recently, and obviously this is going to be a reoccurring pattern, what got me into their program is that they dropped dope-ass content and they had amazing live streams. And they, you know, I could see me getting the result in their space and I already loved their free content. And I might have been in their sphere for a little while, sometimes even a year before I finally bought. But when I do decide to buy, there's no objections. There's no fighting. There's no, you know, like, fuckity fuck sales call I need to jump on. I just buy. So compare that to the people that I haven't bought from lately. Or, you know, like the people that, and I just think that a lot of sales processes kind of fuck up our relationships. So there's also people that were super fucking awesome. And still, I still think they're fucking awesome, but there's that kind of string of weirdness that kind of goes with it, where it's like, it's just not the same. You know, it's not the same, you know, it kind of hinders a relationship or you're a little more hesitant to participate in a group maybe because you're like, I don't want to be bothered or I don't want to give off the right, wrong signal because maybe they'll be misconstrued and thinking that I'm interested when I'm, you know, like there's just not that space there. Like I want to make a decision. And that's another important thing. It's like people generally don't want to be sold to, but they love deciding to buy something. So it's like holding that space and having a community where it's easy for people to buy from you, but at the same time, they're not feeling like they're obligated to buy from you by being in your community, because that's a shitty feeling. So anyway, there's like a few instances. One instance was somebody messaged me out of the blue and, you know, I thought she was cool or whatever. I didn't know what she did though, but I thought she was cool. And then it was about her program, like it was about a program, and I would go on her timeline and I didn't really see anything about what she did. There was nothing free that I could absorb to take home. And that's the thing, like a lot of things that I bought, even when someone reached out to me, it's like, oh, they have a book. Let me read their book and see what they're about. And then it's like give people an incentive to take the next step. A lot of times it's almost like people are approaching sales like, hey, wanna fuck? But it's like, but you didn't even like offer me on a first date, or, you know, there's no sample for me to try, or, you know, I don't know what your community is like. I don't know what your energy is like. So it's like this weird thing of like getting people on the phone and expecting them to buy right there in a content-driven environment. It doesn't quite make sense. I think a lot of people are trying to cram old school strategies into new school ways, or maybe they just enjoy that. You know, it's not, no one had, not everyone has to do it my way, and not everyone is meant for me, but just some thoughts on my side of things. So anyway, I ended up saying no to this person because here's the thing. When you invest in yourself, it's not so cut and dry that, hey, I invest in myself and then I'm going to get this result. It's not that cut and dry. Because you can make an investment with an unaligned service provider or coach or whatever it may be, and it actually being detrimental to your success. Your success. So you don't want to, like, the unaligned investment can hurt you. So to me, it just didn't feel like an aligned investment, and I said no. And then what really strained the relationship to me, or the friendship in a way, and it's like no ill feelings or whatever, but it does have an impact. Like there's a contracting feeling to the relationship when it doesn't have to be like that. And by the way, I've been on the giving end plenty of times for this, of trying to sell for another coaching company or trying to sell for myself based off other strategies I learned. So I totally get it, and no hard feelings whatsoever to any of the people, but I just want to use it as an example. So then I get followed up on, and it's like I was praying and Jesus wants you to join this program or some shit like that. And I'm like, what the fuck? That's ridiculous. He's like, this is like some spiritual predatory shit. And so that had me at a no, clear no. And the thing is a person reached out to me and there was an easy opportunity of like, well, they reached out. The offer seems a bit intriguing. I'm called to check out the timeline and see what's going on. And it could have been an easy sale, but instead it was this weird vibe. All I needed was a bit more information, or all I needed was to know if they were aligned, and that's that. So the next example is someone who I felt was, you know, like I just feel is cool online and everything like that. And then it's this random message of like, I get this random cold message all of a sudden. It's like, hey, you need to join this program. Like, you need to be, like, I think I said no at first, and then it was like a follow-up in that same strategy. And it's like, there's this weird thing that people adopt where sales has to be force, or it needs to be a battle, which it doesn't. Like, it's a collaboration. People actually want to join your program, but you don't, like, when you try that alpha hierarchy shit, where it's like, get in my mastermind, get in my program. It's just sort of weird. That's lovely. Oh, horn is honking. We are in the lovely city of DC. Hey, dude, your alarm's going off. Okay, so, and then, like the, another example is, you know, like, just wanting to, you know, like it was sort of like the same energy as the last example. And it's sort of like this feeling of, hey, you know, there's like no room for allowing people to be in your community. You know what I mean? It's like there's no room for that. When it's like, I must close this person now. Or, you know, I must like tell them that they need to join my program, you know, things like that. And I feel like you're kind of capped off to the people that you attract that way too, because if you're a person who believes in free thinking, who's not all tied up in the whole, is my recording going to go off? I don't know. This is the first time I'm recording this way. Usually I pop up a live stream on here, but I'm going the more professional route. And I like this vibe because it's more original and it feels like it's designed just for this podcast. But anyway, I'm coming to the 30-minute mark and it looks like it's going to shut off. So let's see. And yes, it did shut off. I remember that now. So that's cool. Now I know. So anyway, yeah, it's like this weird, heavy expectation vibe. And really the best thing to growing relationships is appreciation over expectation and allowing people space. Like, there's nothing wrong with reaching out to somebody you're inspired to reach out to and saying, like, giving them the space to make a decision. And still, I think even to this day, it's a breath of fresh air to not be that person who tries to force somebody into a sale, to not be that person who's like constantly thinking that every response is an objection that needs to be handled. And just think of it as a breath of fresh air for somebody to hear on the receiving end of, oh, that's okay. You know, make your decision, let me know, and we'll be in touch. Like, that's it. And it's like this breath of fresh air of like, oh, wow, they didn't try to hard sell me. Wow, I get to make a decision. Wow, they're not so fucking desperate for clients that they're not like constantly messaging me every day. You know? And I've learned the ways of Grant Cardone, which is funny. He's doing like a Vegas event with Kevin Hart and Snoop Dogg and some others. By the way, little known fact, Kevin Hart, the funny thing is his wife, I used to work at like two places with her, which is interesting. You know, it's a funny thing because it's like, wow, it's a small world. But like, she was a coworker at two different places, at two different restaurants. I worked at Hops and Famous Dave's, and she was a coworker there. And then one day I just saw on a website that she was getting engaged to Kevin Hart. And I'm like, what the fuck? How did that happen? So it's interesting. It's kind of cool. But anyway, with that being said, it's like in my process, I've learned a lot of cool things around like the 10X way and Grant Cardone way. And honestly, I mean, it had certain medicine that I needed at that time. But when I adopted those strategies, or when I felt like, you know, I had to stay on the phone and be in that old school sales process, it was really taking me away from my magic and my ability to receive. And sales was always like this frustrating thing. And I was a little bit out of my element. And it's not really a natural part of my personality to push people. And that's not wrong. Like, it's totally fucking okay for you to be an artist and, you know, like, do sales in the way that you want to do. Like, I will say that it is necessary to let people know about your program and release any shame that you may have around inviting people into your space, for sure. There's, you know, sales definitely is needed in business. Marketing is definitely needed in business, but there's different ways to do it. And I think a lot of people market in a way that there's scarcity sometimes. They market in a way, I got to make someone feel less than worthy to feel worthy, you know, to buy my thing to gain worthiness or significance or whatever. And there's this like really big focus on pain points too. And none of that is really fucking necessary. Like, you can have a light sales and marketing process and it gets to be fun and easy. And honestly, some of the biggest breakthroughs I had in my business is when I got closer to my authentic code. And two instances that have really helped me was, one was, you know, a few moons ago. Not many moons ago, but a few moons ago. And it was in 2016, like around the end of 2016. It was almost like a New Year's resolution. I'm not really too big on New Year's resolutions, but it just happened to be the year changing. And I was like joining this new program. And I just made the decision right then and there. Like, that awareness came open to me. And I said, I'm not jumping on any more discovery calls. And I'm going to double down my energy into content instead and being open about my sales. And like, the thought process I had there was, why would I want to sell? Why would I want to sell through calls or like through one call with one person on the other end when I can sell to a group of people in a live stream or on a video or a piece of content and give people the opportunity there? Sure, maybe I wouldn't be in the space to box someone in and get someone to buy or whatever. And maybe they had the freedom to leave the live stream. But something else I also learned is love somebody in the way that they feel free. So why don't we do that for our clients? Like, why don't we love our potential clients in the way that they feel free? And knowing that they freely chose us as that healer, that coach, that guide, whatever it may be, rather than them having weak boundaries or them being vulnerable to pressure or just wondering like, or are they just working with me because I applied the pressure on them, you know? So that's my thought process. And when I did that, more clients were coming in and clients I've always wanted to work with. And I remember in particular, it was almost like a test period where someone said, hey, I want to work with you in a month from now or something. And it was someone that I really wanted as a client. And that was like one of the first moments where I was like, wait, that's not an objection. I don't need to handle that objection. Just say thank you and let them go on their way. And I think she messaged me like a week later and became a client a lot sooner than she said she would. So I really do think that in some circles of the internet, in some circles of sales and marketing, it's almost like if they don't buy right then and there, treat them like trash, which is so fucking horrible and so detrimental to building an amazing community. It's like, what if everyone in your community was enjoying themselves and there wasn't that high pressure and, you know, the right people bought when they did. And this works for high ticket, low ticket, whatever ticket. I just feel like it's so much more cleaner when it's transparent. There's no bait and switch and you're doing it in a way that feels good. And when you're doing it that way, then it doesn't take, you know, like it's optional. Rebecca does discovery calls, but the way she does discovery calls, it's like, here's the price and we're going to get on a call and talk things out and I'll explain some things and then sign you up. It's not like the, I guess, the standard discovery call, but you don't need the discovery call, even if it's a high ticket client. If they know you, they're in tune with your identity. Hashtag identity. The program is live now. If you're listening to this before the 25th or even around the 25th of February, 2020, get your ass in identity at brandingwithbrandon.com. And you might be able to find it in the bio here. But yeah, when your authentic codes and they know like I need their codes and I want to work with them, a lot of that resistance melts away. And it becomes a process where sales heightens and builds upon a relationship rather than taking away from a relationship. And the second example that I had was just recently, like maybe about a month ago. I just feel like I'm on this new high in my business. Like I had a whole other identity shift while launching identity and a whole other awakening. And that's realizing how many more digital style courses I want to do, how I'm structuring my programs. And I guess that kind of goes in a way where I'm selling, but it's like how I structure my programs, the pricing and the experiences of my programs that really help things take off. And the big difference there is in identity itself, the first launch of identity, it was getting a lot of people that were liking it and messaging me about it, but it wasn't quite selling. So I decided to take it off the shelf for like a week or two and then relaunch it. And that might even be spoken against by some people in the business space. Like, everyone has a fucking rule. But when I relaunched it, like, I think like 20 minutes after I put it out there, somebody joined. And then like every day someone's joining Identity, and it's just fucking awesome. And I think we got 8 people in there right now, and I tend to max it out at 15. So that's cool. So I just wanted this to be the new paradigm of sales, and that's probably what I'm going to title this podcast. And hopefully some of this you can take home with you and apply immediately, make some motherfucking money, some real motherfucking money. And yeah, look, you don't have to be anyone else but yourself to do this shit. And really, you can do it. And there's so many different ways to do it. And I think a lot of times the introvert way or the artist way is overlooked. And I think sometimes we get into thinking that we need to be strictly coaches or strictly whatever the fuck we're conditioned to think we had to be. Like, for instance, and I don't think Rebecca will mind if I share this, but Rebecca recently made a shift because she was having clients that felt light in her system, and she was coaching them, and it felt like a great thing. But she also had like PR and more copywriting based clients that felt like, it's not that they were bad clients, but the experience felt heavy because she wasn't precisely in her zone of genius. Yeah, I guess I would say it was her zone of excellence to write for other people. Like, she loves writing for herself. She loves writing content, all that stuff. But when she was writing for other people between calls, it felt heavy. And then she made that shift of saying no to some of the things that she wanted to be no longer available for. And that ended up boosting her income and her energy levels and her sales because she had more capacity. So your capacity is not based off the amount of clients all the time. It's based off, are you in your zone of genius, or are you in your zone of excellence, or zone of competence, or zone of incompetence? And if you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, read The Big Leap by Gay Hendricks. It's a must read book. So there was that. And her friend made the opposite shift, where she was trying to coach, but coaching wasn't her zone of genius. And she started like making more money being a copywriter for people because she loves the copywriting side. She loved, you know, that's where her zone of genius is. So it's like, even that small shift can change the fucking game for you. And then for me, as an example that I already discussed a bit, is I like being an artist, building out programs, and really building masterpieces out of programs. So honestly, I can group coach, but it's not my favorite thing to do. Like, getting people on Zoom calls, that's more of like a Rebecca style thing. So I'm leaning away towards the Zoom calls still in group coaching. I can do one-on-one calls, but honestly, I don't want my day filled with one-on-one calls anymore. Like, so, you know, I verge away from that. And it's like, does it feel better to do Voxer support in my one-on-one calls? And yes, it fucking does. And, you know, so it's just realizing where our strengths are and how we want to structure things based off our own authentic codes. And your sales and marketing process, the way you design your programs, your brand, all of it can be meshed in with that. So that's my message for you today. Thank you for joining this podcast. Again, as you're leaving, please leave a 5-star review. It'll help it help get more listeners into this wonderful space. And also, check out my program, Identity. We launch on the 25th of February in 2020. Go to brandingwithbrandon.com. And if you're listening to this in the future, I'm trying to do, I don't know if people get it when I make those references, but there's a show called Once Upon a Time, and Rumpelstiltskin, he's like, I'm invested in your future. So that's what I don't know. But anyway, go to brandingwithbrandon.com and to check out more information about me and different ways that you can work with me as well. So until next time, friends, we'll see you soon.